Straight Talk on WRHI FM 100.1 is brought to you by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. And now here is Stephen Stone.
And good afternoon, everyone. Welcome into our Straight Talk broadcast for this Thursday. As the man with the great voice just said, we are brought to you by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. Anderson Griggs Investments in Old Town Rock Hill. Common sense, intelligent advice for conservative investors. You can find out more online at AndersonGriggs.com. Good Pharmacy is with us today. Your hometown pharmacy, Ebenezer Road at Camden Avenue in Rock Hill. Piedmont Medical Center, a community built on care. Visit PiedmontMedicalCenter.com. Kathy Greer, the executive director of the York County Free Clinic, will be with us tomorrow. Today, we get the pleasure to talk to somebody that I haven't seen since before the pandemic. In fact, as it was beginning, Emily Parrish is with us, the executive director of the Children's Attention Home. And, of course, they do great things there that you're going to learn about over the next 30 minutes. But it's good to see you again.
Last time, we
were having to put on a mask and get ready for all this ensuing madness over the next 15 months.
I think we were just kind of adjusting to our new normal at the time.
Exactly. So let's start, for those who don't know, and tell them a little bit about Emily Parrish.
Okay. So I have the privilege of serving as the executive director at the Children's Attention Home. I have been with the home here in Rock Hill for the past 16 years. I've had an opportunity to serve in multiple roles, usually on the residential side, but I moved over to this role about 3 years ago, and it's been really nice to get out and get to know our community more and talk with folks like you who have a heart for the kids and who are interested in the work that we do and how they can help us serve these children. And I have been in Rock Hill for many, many years, long enough to be considered a local, I think. And so I went to school here, and I'm raising my family here now. And it's really a privilege to be in the position I'm in, to be able to give back to my own community at this point.
Well, let's talk a little bit about what the Children's Attention Home is, again, because, you know, we're growing. As you, no one knows better than you, who have spent pretty much your entire life here.
Right.
You've seen the growth firsthand. And it's a daily basis. So for those who don't know what the Children's Attention Home is, we can tell them about that.
Sure. So we are a residential home for children who are in need. We have two different programs, so we serve two different populations. The majority of our children come from DSS placements, and they are coming in due to abuse or neglect. Those children are all ages from 0 to 21, and they can stay with us as long as they need our care. So most of them, their parents are on a treatment plan, working to regain custody. Some of those children will go to adoptive placements, and some may move to foster homes. We also have a program for homeless or at-risk youth, and those children can come in voluntarily. Those children, we serve children ages 17 to 21 in that program. That's our Crossroads program. And so we do everything for both programs, everything for the kids that you would do in a typical home growing up. So we just, we have a lot of kids. We have mostly teenagers at this point. So we are doing a lot of independent living skills. We do a lot of personal skill development with our kids. We work with them on social skill development. A lot of our kids, it's summertime, so we're looking for summer jobs. And we have many kids that'll be doing that. And we meet all of their basic needs. When the kids come in, the first thing we do before we sort of start on a path towards independence is really, we find out who they are. We find out what's going on with them. And we always provide food, clothing, and shelter. We get them medical care and attention. We make sure that they've had mental health treatment and counseling if they need that. And then we'll do everything in between, right? We do meals and we take them to school, and we work with them on all of their activities and things. So
now, when you and I last got together, it was as the pandemic was beginning to unfold and all the things were coming into play. Obviously, there's not a business, let alone a human being, that hasn't been impacted in some manner of way, shape, or form by what would come along down the path here of COVID-19. How was the Children's Attention Home impacted?
So it was a tough year. I will tell you, it was really difficult for our children. We are dealing with kids who have already experienced trauma. We're dealing with children who have already been displaced from their homes or their, you know, living situations that they were familiar with. And so to then have this extra layer on top really was tough for them. A lot of our kids could no longer have visits with family members or relatives, just because it wasn't safe to do so. So those things went virtual. Our kids lost their in-person school environment, which is very important for all children, but also children, who are dealing with some of these complex traumas. So they all went virtual. They were with us as we did our best with virtual schooling. Things like even, you know, mental health counseling and things, that was all virtual, and that's a tough shift for our kids. And then organizationally, we really rely on our community, and so it was tough for all of us to lose our volunteer network. We have a ton of volunteers that come in and work directly with our kids. We have volunteers that do administrative work, and so not to have that connection was really tough on all of us. And so we had to deal with all of that, and then there were significant financial impacts as well, just because there were changes in state funding and federal funding, and the loss of in-person events was a really big hit for us, just because, again, that's where we see people, that's where we see our village a little bit. So we're glad to be where we are at this point. We're starting to open things back up a little bit. We have seen some volunteers back on our campus, which is a wonderful thing.
Where are you all located at?
So we are here in town, and okay. we're ever close to the Winthrop campus.
Okay, not too terribly far from where we're sitting right now.
That's
I guess.
Right.
Okay, now that being said, how are you all funded? I mean, you mentioned state and federal funding. I mean, but you're also a 501c3, I believe.
We are, and we do get money from South Carolina DSS. We do get reimbursements for the children that are placed with us through DSS. Typically, though, that only supports less than half of our annual budget,
right.
And so we make up the difference with grants. But most of the difference really is made up through donors and private supporters.
Which leads us very neatly into the subject of fundraising, which you haven't been able to do for the last 15 months, but this now has all changed as we return to the new normal.
That's right. So we did, like everybody else, and we got very creative with some of our fundraising opportunities during the pandemic. We went virtual, and we had unique experiences getting to meet people online and doing Zooms and things like that. And we did have a hybrid option for a fundraiser in the fall, because we are celebrating our 50th year. And so we did sort of a smaller in-person event and had some live streaming. But we are glad to be able to start opening back up. We had a golf tournament back in April, which was very nice. And we are preparing for more events coming up. We will have a Top Golf fundraiser in October, on October 4th, from 5:30 to 8:30. So more details will come out about that, and that is really exciting for us, because again, it's a way for us to get back out there and network with the folks that care about the home and care about the kids, and really, you know, see people in person. It makes a difference.
Well, I would think so. There's nothing like the human contact, where you can sit across or stand across and, you know, look into someone's eyes and get their read their expressions and all that sort of thing. And it's much more bonding, especially in what you're doing in making that connection. But I would think especially with the children, because that's the bottom line, who it's really all about.
That's right. And our kids need that connection. And so it's really nice, again, for us to be able to start opening up the campus for volunteer groups to come in. And we have a lot of support from churches and community groups that will come in and do different things with the kids. And so as we are preparing for the summer, and our children are sort of getting used to a schedule, and or maybe a lack of schedule, I should say, we do have some groups that will come in and do different things. And that connection is huge. Again, these are kids that have dealt with really tough situations, and so, you know, when they can form positive relationships with others in the community, it makes a huge difference.
And this summer is going to look a lot different and be a lot different than what last summer was. Obviously, they have to be very excited about that, as are all of you.
They are very excited. It's the second day of summer here at the Children's Attention Home in Rock Hill, and we are living it. Our kids are in and out, and so there's a lot of activity happening on campus, but it's really nice. We have a lot of really good things planned for the kids this summer. We are taking a beach trip with the kids at the end of July, which is very exciting. We obviously were not able to do anything like that last year, and that's something that's really important to us because a lot of our kids have not had an opportunity to take a family vacation, to go on those types of trips. And so that's a big deal. So we go and we do all the things, right? We cook out and we go to the shops and we stand with them, you know, and many of them have never seen the ocean for the first time. And so we are geared up for a nice summer. We are really excited.
That's what I was thinking, was that in some cases, this may be the only opportunity that they've ever had or may ever have to see the Atlantic Ocean, as it were.
Absolutely.
I didn't think you were going west to California.
We're not.
Because if you are, I want in.
Okay. Right. That's a much different type of trip. Not this summer.
But that's not to rule it out. So there you go, boys and girls, if you're listening at home. Emily Parrish is Executive Director of the Children's Attention Home with us this afternoon. And, of course, they improve the lives of children in need. And how does one get in touch with you all if they are in need?
You can visit our website. It's attentionhome.org. You can also visit us. We're on all of the big social media outlets. You can call us directly. And we are close to opening our campus back up to tour groups or smaller tours. You know, we're still doing it so we can keep folks safe. But we really want people to come in and see the good work that we're doing. So we encourage folks to reach out and ask questions and find out more.
Okay, so what's next for you all? I mean, okay, summer's here. Everybody's smiling. They're raring to go. It's energy. What have you got cooking?
We've got all kinds of stuff going on. Next Tuesday, like I said, it was our 50th year, and next Tuesday we are actually doing a book launch. Over the past year, we've been working on a history book that highlighted the 50 years of the Children's Home has been here. So we're launching that, and that will be an exciting way for the community to learn more about our history. We are continuing to grow programs and services at the home. There's a lot of legislative changes and things that are sort of dictating how we care for our kids, and so we've got a lot of exciting programs that are starting that way. We're implementing a trauma-informed care model for our children and training our staff to make sure that we are providing the best quality services. And we will continue adjusting to the needs of our kids and you know, we're going to see how the summer goes and what fun stuff we can come up with. And we are going to continue to reach out to the community and work to get our folks back on campus and back involved. And we're looking forward to it.
Just keep rocking them there. Yeah,
that's it.
Exactly. Now, how much contact does our very fine legislators have with you all? I mean, do you get visits from them? Do they check in? Do they call, say, you know, how can I help, or what do you need, or what's going on?
Absolutely. We have some very, very strong supporters. And, you know, we are very involved on a state level with other group homes and other agencies that are working for positive change for the kids. There was legislation that was passed years ago that's going into effect this year under the Families First Prevention Services Act. And so that changes the focus a little bit in childcare settings. And it really is, again, it pushes us to make sure that we are providing the best care for the children. It has required us to look at some different programs and services. Again, it's one more thing. It's better for the kids. It helps us partner with other community agencies, which builds the children's network. So we're always looking for ways to do that.
Let's talk about the Children's Network. I mean, you obviously talk to each other a lot about what's working here and what's not working somewhere else, or vice versa, or that sort of thing.
We absolutely do. Again, we have a very strong network across the state. We have a strong network locally with other partner agencies that help us with our children here in town and can help us with services for families. But we absolutely do. As we are looking at different services, again, over the past few years, the age of our children has gone up. And so we've had to address, you know, how we can better serve teenagers, how we can better serve children that are maybe experiencing homelessness or maybe at risk of experiencing homelessness when that not have not always been our target population. And so we have a very strong group of folks that we can rely on to give us feedback and to sort of bounce ideas off. And that's the best you can do, right? There's strength in numbers, I think.
Right.
And we very much rely on our village in terms of caring for our kids and providing them with the resources that they need.
And those teenage years, those are some very, very difficult, tricky years, as you know, as both a parent and in your line of work.
It is. There's all kinds of stuff that comes up with teenagers, and I will tell you, they absolutely keep us on our toes. At this moment, we have approximately 30 kids at the children's home, and the majority of those kids are teenagers, and so there is not ever a dull moment at the home.
What is the average age?
At this point, typically our children tend to be over the age of 12. At this point, our youngest is 8, and our oldest is 19. Average age is usually somewhere between 14 and 16.
Okay.
But we run the whole gamut, because again, we'll serve very young children and children up until their 21st birthday.
Wow.
Yes.
That's incredible. And the experience of the children, it'd be interesting, I think, to talk to them sometime as to the impact that you all have made. Do they ever come back and visit after they're adults and into the world and that sort of thing?
They do, actually. We have very strong connections with former residents. It's something that we pride ourselves in. It's something that we work really hard to actively maintain. Because they're our kids, you know, and we really make it a point to let them know that no matter where they go or how long it's been, that they still have us as a support system. And it is funny, they're still teenagers usually when they leave. And so we've definitely seen children show back up for mealtimes and, you know, show back up with a backseat full of laundry and things that you would expect. But it's nice, and it's nice to keep that relationship. And it is always important for kids that have gone through these types of situations to have that line of communication open in case they need something.
It's a great support system for them as they go off into the world and into their lives and, in some cases, become parents themselves.
That's right.
Emily Parrish is with us this afternoon. We're going to take our mid-program break right now and remind you that you are listening to Straight Talk. She, of course, is the executive director of the Children's Attention Home. And our program is brought to you by our friends at Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. By Anderson Griggs Investments in Old Town Rock Hill, common sense, intelligent advice for conservative investors. You can find out more online at AndersonGriggs.com. We broadcast Straight Talk Monday through Friday this time from Substation 2 on Cherry Road in Rock Hill, across from Winthrop University, where they make fresh subs and salads right before your eyes. And as Emily and I will tell you on the count of three, the magical way they do it, 1, 2, 3.
Slice, slice, slice. Slice.
Garden, 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 garden. We're back after these words.
If it's 12:30, it's Straight Talk on WRHI.
Water, fire, mold, and storms cause property damage every day. When it happens to you, it's no time for second best. That's why insurance professionals trust the locally owned and family-run Paul Davis Restoration of Rock Hill. This is Gina Rogers. Paul Davis is committed to providing extraordinary care while serving our neighbors in their time of need. Our team is highly qualified and trained to handle each situation with care and professionalism. When disaster strikes, call Paul Davis. We are here to help. 329-1140 or pauldavisrockhill.com.
Save on your monthly mortgage payment with a 30-year fixed-rate mortgage from Founders Federal Credit Union. Take advantage of low rates while they're still around, and you'll also have no private mortgage insurance costs. The application process is easy, and your mortgage is serviced completely by Founders and always stays with us. Relax, you're home. For more, visit foundersfcu.com/30. Membership qualification required. Credit evaluation, underwriting requirements, terms and conditions apply. Institutions, NMLS identifier number 410646.
Our common sense investing is not designed to take your life savings, roll the dice, and make you rich. We design a plan to keep the standard of living you have grown accustomed to the same throughout your retirement, be it 20, 30, or even 40 more years. Anderson Griggs Investments, 324-5044, or online at AndersonGriggs.com.
Wow, have things changed over the last year? This is Charlie Ruffalo. We're thankful for all your support through this situation. But we've come to a crossroad. Starting immediately, we will close on Sundays. This will allow us time to perform necessary maintenance and deep cleaning and also give us time to prepare for the week to come. But we're still willing to do caterings for special events on Sundays. We apologize for any inconvenience this may cause. But remember, we're still open Monday to Saturday. So come enjoy the best subs and salads in town. Substation 2, Cherry Road, across from Winthrop.
Straight Talk continues now on WRHI. Brought to you by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders.
And Emily Parrish, the executive director of the Children's Attention Home, is with us this afternoon on our Straight Talk program. And there are a number of ways that you and I can get involved and help, whether it be volunteering, contributing money. What else do you need?
Those are both very important.
Okay.
We are in the process of reopening our campus, and so there are a lot of volunteer opportunities that we have not had for some time that have been paused due to COVID. So we are looking for volunteer groups to help with things like facilities, with, you know, group projects, lawn care and things like that. You know, fun Saturday projects is always helpful. We are looking for folks that want to be involved directly with the children. Our kids are always looking for mentors. They're always, again, looking for that connection to a trusted adult in the community. We always have a need for meal partners. That's a very nice way for folks to get back and say people can donate homemade meals. People can have events catered. Yesterday we had, to celebrate the end of school, we had a food truck come out, which was very cool. Exciting. Yes, it was very cool and it was delicious. So we were super glad to have them. So there are lots of options like that, which, again, just they make things nice for the kids, and they obviously make things run better for the home. So those are always available. We always need financial support. Again, it's been a tough year. We are dealing with some of the aftermath of COVID a little bit, the lack of in-person events, the lack of some things that we'd had previously, and just, you know, changes in funding, changes in opportunities like that. So where people can support financially, that's the most impactful way that people can help us. And then again, just being aware that we're here, spreading the word about the home, liking us on social media and following our posts is important, because it's interesting, even now, even though we've been around in Rock Hill for 50 years, there are still people that don't know about us. And okay. So we always want to get the word out.
All right. Now tell me about how they can contribute financially. How do they go about that?
You can give us a call. You can go on our website. Our phone number is 803-328-8871. You can go on our website, again, at attentionhome.org. There's all information right there on the home screen. You can, again, go to our social media. We're on Facebook. We're on Instagram. We're on Twitter. And so you can find us, and there are options that make it very easy for people to support if they would like to do so.
So they can just simply Google you, basically, and
Absolutely.
Find all these things, website, Facebook, the whole nine yards, so
Absolutely.
To speak.
Absolutely, yep.
Tell me about the children. They're teenagers, that much I get.
Yes.
They're in a situation that none of them would ever want to be in,
right.
But there they are, and thank God they have you.
So I'll tell you, it's sort of a loaded question when you ask me to tell you about the children, because we'll be here for the rest of our day,
okay.
Probably, but yeah, they're good kids. You know, these are kids that have been dealt a really bad hand, and they need support, right? They need somebody to help them pick up the pieces a little bit. They need somebody to encourage them and connect with them, and that's usually all they need. You know, we're not talking about kids that are, you know, perpetrators of crimes or children that, you know, have done bad things. These are children, again, who have just been in really unfortunate circumstances. And so they need all the things that kids do. And it's just, people always say, you know, it must be so sad to be at the children's home because the kids have sad circumstances. You know, our kids have dealt with abuse and neglect and trauma and homelessness. But it's not sad to be there, because they're children, right? And when you get a bunch of kids together, it's encouraging and it's inspiring. And like I said, right now it's the second day of summer and there's a lot of activity and kids that are optimistic for the future and a whole group of people that are optimistic for them and excited to be with them for their next steps. So
Emily, what am I missing here?
you know, it's just it's a good place to be. The home is doing such good work. Again, I'm honored to have been a part of the home's mission for the last 16 years. But, you know, even before me, the home's been around for 50 years. And as part of our 50th year, and we were writing this history book about the home, it was amazing to hear the legacy and to hear all of the folks in our community, in this community, that have stepped up along the years to support these kids that they don't know, you know, but kids that are no different from my kids and your kids and nieces and nephews, you know, folks that are in need. And it's just, it's so inspiring. And it's such a team effort, right? This is part of who we are. And it's just, it's a good thing to be a part of.
That's a good thing to always give back, especially when you're dealing with the future of America, as Manning Kimmel would say, and that's what these children are. That's
absolutely
America's future. You could have a future president of the United States in there somewhere.
I'm certain that we do.
The doctor that finds the cure for cancer or COVID or whatever, you know. So, it's very important. Now, what is the website address for those?
AttentionHome.org.
Okay, very simple for people like me. AttentionHome.org.
That's it.
The phone number they can call you at again, you were telling me earlier?
803-328-8871.
All right, now you got the event next week, the book thing. Can anybody come to that? Can we, you know?
The book launch is going to be virtual.
Okay.
But we will put all of the information out. It should probably go out in the next day or so. So we will be blasting that on social media, and absolutely anybody can tune in for that.
Okay.
And our monthly donors will have access to the history book that I've been talking about. So that will be fun. It was one of the best books I've read in a long time. So
how long did it take to put this all together?
One of our board members was instrumental in gathering all of the information, so he did an incredible job with that, but it really was a labor of love. It took the better part of last year. There were a few other things going on last year as well, but,
yes,
but he did all of that, and so Katie Motzinger, our community resource director, and I sort of dove in for some of the editing and putting it together, and it was, again, it was a very interesting process. It was a very fun process, and it's very nice to have the finished product now.
We love Katie. She's great.
She is wonderful.
She really is. I always enjoy when she comes to visit Palmetto Mornings and such, and I'm sure you'll be coming through there very shortly yourself. So the book is next week.
Next week.
And what do you got coming beyond that other than just enjoying summer?
Well, we are definitely going to enjoy the summer. And then coming up in October, we are having a fundraiser at Top Golf. That is going to be very exciting. We've not done a fundraiser at Topgolf before, so we're looking forward to doing something new and different. That fundraiser will actually be on October 4th. That's a Monday. It will be 5:30 to 8:30, and it's food and drinks and games and golf. So we will be posting information about that on our website and sharing on social media. So we are very excited about that, and we are trying to get the word out because it's going to be a good one.
Any of your older teenagers participating in any of this golf stuff? So you may have some. You could have the next Tiger Woods or somebody in there. You know,
listen, our kids have skills all over the place. So we for sure have seen children come from the children's home that have done great things.
That's the bottom line right there. And they're getting a lot of help in that process from you and the great volunteers and the assorted staff. And
yes,
God's work that you're doing. I mean, you're to be commended and praised endlessly for what you're doing. Emily Parrish with the Executive Director of the Children's Attention Home. Website address again one more time.
AttentionHome.org.
And the phone number so they can call you up and talk to you.
803-328-8871.
All right. Anything you want to do in the final minute we have here together? Anything that I might have passed by?
I want to thank you for having us on, and thank you for your support of the children's home and the kids that we have the opportunity to serve, and thank our community, because that's how it's possible is by the folks that support us every day.
You said it earlier that it takes a village.
It absolutely does.
You mentioned the village several times during the interview, and that's exactly what it is and what it means.
We are grateful for ours.
Absolutely. Emily Parrish, Executive Director of the Children's Attention Home, has been our guest this afternoon. See, 30 minutes blew by just like that. We appreciate you being with us, and by all means, keep up the great work and stay in touch with me.
I will. Thank
you. All right. Straight Talk brought to you by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax. You're with Founders. Anderson Griggs Investments in Old Town Rock Hill. Common sense, intelligent advice for conservative investors. Find out more online at AndersonGriggs.com. And as always, Straight Talk broadcast live from Substation 2 in Cherry Road in Rock Hill, across from Winthrop University. where they make fresh subs and salads right before your very eyes. I swear they do it all the time. And the way they do it is
slice, 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 slice. Garden.
There's the enthusiasm you wanted, Charlie. There it is. Have a great day, folks. We'll see you tomorrow afternoon. Kathy Greer will be here, Executive Director of the York County Free Clinic.